I'd like to take you back from 2018, 2,000 years, and back further beyond that, another 700 years before Jesus was born. A man called Isaiah was living somewhere in the Middle East, and he made an amazing statement. It's the start of the reading made famous by those nine readings and carols that happened at King's College. It's on the front page of your songbooks. It's there in Isaiah chapter 9. And it says, verse 1, "There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, the light has dawned." The Bible describes times of gloom and distress and darkness, and they weren't talking about the weather. That was talking about people being stressed and anxious, frightened, violence all around them, wondering why their relationships that they thought were okay seemed to be going wrong. There didn't seem to be anyone in charge that they could trust and rely on. Nobody was telling the truth. They longed to be able to talk to their relatives that had died. So you know what they did? They consulted mediums. But it was all a dead end. They were living on the breadline. Nothing was giving them lasting pleasure. All they could see behind a very thin mask was darkness, distress, and helplessness. Now that sounds a bit like many people feel today. Maybe a friendship is hard. Maybe things seem to be going wrong no matter how hard you try. Maybe there's bullying in your school or work that makes you not want to get up in the morning. Maybe you're lonely or sick. Many things can turn out to be a disappointment, and it feels gloomy. But Isaiah says, one day, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. Now that's good news for a start, an end to gloom. It says, in the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. I've not been to those places. They're odd names, but they are in Israel, and they're little, not very impressive towns. If they were around here, they might be Water Beach and Soham. But they'd been humbled when invaders had come from the north and smashed those villages down. Not that important, not that impressive, but in the future, God says, he will honor this area, Galilee of the nations, by the way of the sea. So how is God going to turn things around? How is he going to do that? He tells the people that they've been walking in darkness and have now seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. One day in the future, God is going to banish gloom and sadness and anxiety completely. He's going to turn the lights on. The sun is going to rise. Now, Isaiah had a word for the people who were feeling gloomy. A great light is going to come, but then he said, how? Can you look down to verse 6 on your pages? It says how he's going to banish the darkness. A son is given, a child is born, and the government will be on his shoulders. The shadow banishing light will be a baby. But babies can't do anything for themselves. If you've got a little baby brother or sister, you know they're helpless. How could the light coming into the world be anything so weak and small? Here's a baby photo or two. Now they're, I wonder if you can recognize them. They are just babies in this picture, but they would grow up to be very significant people. Hands up if you've got a clue who either of those babies are. Wendy reckons she recognizes Princess Anne, no, close, but no cigar. Some other royal. Well, the other one is Barak. There you go. That is There is the Queen with Prince Charles, the future heir of the throne, in her arms. And there is Barak, grown up, all grown up. And you probably don't want to know who this young boy grows up to be. I'll move on swiftly. Although it would be 700 years before a young woman called Mary would give birth to that special child, that baby in a cradle in a little village called Bethlehem, not far from Jerusalem, it would then be only a few years before he would lay his life down to save the world, to change the course of human history. His life would be the light, not only for Galilee, but for the whole world. But before we get there, where I tell you a little bit more about that, take a moment to wonder at the birth of Jesus. Can I have the musicians again? I'm not sure how silent any baby's birth actually is, let alone one likely to have been in an animal stable. But we're going to sing this anyway, and perhaps imagine getting a look in at that very ordinary looking birth and being given the knowledge that Christ, the Saviour, has been born. Think yourself back into that stable and that silent night. So as you sit down, please do, we've got Jesus' name, means God saves, and it's God with us. We've got him promised 700 years before he turned up by the prophet Isaiah as light coming into the world. And we've also got a baby, astonishingly, being the hope for the nations. Well, we know that there were shepherds who were among the first to get the message. Do you want to make your way up on stage, my drama crowd? Shepherds who were among the first to get the message about the birth of that extraordinary child and to go and see this baby. And what follows is an imagined bedtime moment sometime in the first century AD.
Dad hasn't come up yet. Let's play the sheep jokes game. I'll go first. Where do sheep get their haircuts? At the barbers.
I've got one. How do Spanish sheep say Merry Christmas? Fleece Navidad.
Me next. What did the sheep want to be when she grew up? A ballerina.
A sheep could never be a ballerina.
It's a joke, duh.
I want to be a ballerina when I grow up.
You're going to be a shepherd, just like the rest of us.
I can be a ballerina as well.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Settle down, children. It's time for bed now. You need to get a good night's sleep so that you can look after those sheep tomorrow.
Daddy, were angels a bit like ballerinas?
No, not at all. They were more like warriors. They were so bright and glorious, and they sang the most beautiful song of praise to God.
Were you scared, Daddy?
Don't be silly. Nothing scares Daddy.
Well, actually, I was scared. They were terrifying. But they told us not to be afraid because they brought good news of great joy.
Tell us the news again, Daddy.
You've already heard me 1,000 times.
Say again, Daddy, again.
Okay. The angel said he had good news of great joy for all the people, that a saviour had been born, who is the Messiah, the promised King, God himself, come down to earth. He told us we'd find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.
They put a king in the manger? That's where the animals eat from.
Ew!
Was he really in a manger, Daddy? Did you see him?
Yes, I did. As soon as the angels had finished their glorious song, we ran over to Bethlehem as fast as we could, and we found the baby, just as the angel had said, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Wow!
I wonder what he's going to be like when he grows up. Maybe he'll be a shepherd like us.
Don't be silly. A king can't be a shepherd. I think he'll be a great leader. He'll be in charge of everyone and make the right decisions for his people.
I think he'll be a really great helper. He'll get alongside ordinary people and comfort them and make their lives better.
I think he'll be mighty, really strong and powerful. He's God after all.
I think he'll be a prince and bring peace to the world.
Well, I think he'll be a light.
How could a baby be a light? Do you press his tummy and he glows like a glow stick?
No, it's from the writings of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." And baby Jesus is that light.
But how can he be a light? It doesn't make sense.
Well, actually, in all the ways that you've all just said, Jesus is a light by being a leader, or a helper, or a counsellor, mighty God and a prince of peace. He will shine his light into people's darkness. Listen to what else Isaiah says. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
Baby Jesus is going to be all those things.
All those things and more. Because he's God. He's our saviour. Now, it really is time for bed.
Aww.
I'll tell you what, if you settle down really quickly, then I promise I'll tell you the story again in the morning. Deal?
Deal.
Okay, night-night then, my little shepherds.
Night, Daddy.
Why don't you give him a round of applause? Fine effort. So how could a child be all those things? Someone to come alongside us and be with us and never leave us? That's a wonderful counsellor. Someone who'd have God's power to still storms, turn water into wine, heal the sick, and raise the dead. He would be mighty God. And when people heard Jesus claiming to be able to forgive sins, they hated him for that. Only God the Father can do that, they thought. But what if he is carrying out the Father's purpose on earth? That was his claim. I do what my Father tells me. And he would go on to say to his own disciples, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That's why he could be called Everlasting Father. And can you see it there? Prince of Peace. Royal, majestic, powerful, combined with humility and great love. He is the Prince of Peace. All of that in one tiny, very ordinary looking baby. A baby was born. His birthday celebrated the world over every December. That child would grow up, and when he was 30, he would go and live in Capernaum by the lake. Matthew says in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. Maybe you can see that on your sheets. There it is. Matthew, writing about Jesus, said when Jesus grew up, he would go and live exactly where Isaiah the prophet said he would, to fulfill what was said. Jesus began teaching in a way no one had ever taught before. He'd make claims about himself no one had ever claimed before. He would confound the wisest and appeal to the most down to earth. And as he preached and did sign after sign pointing to his identity, the light would begin to dawn. This is him. Well, we've taken a familiar modern tune and we put the words of Isaiah 9 and Matthew 4 to it. Do compare the words you're going to hear sung to you with the Bible's words on your page in front of you. My appeal to you is that you realize who it is we're talking about and singing about, and in a few short days we'll celebrate his birthday. This is he. Well, hands up if you know where that song was taken from. The song called "This Is Me" that we've all been singing, or lots of you may have done this year. It's a moving song about truly being able to be ourselves. But I wonder if taking the idea of truly being who we were made to be and pointing us to Jesus. This is him. We might have found the answer to the question, what are we meant to do at Christmas? What should we do? We spent half an hour seeing the one who was promised is the one who came, whose name is Emmanuel, God with us. And his other names are Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. This is him. Well, knowing someone who someone is only gets you so far. Listen to what Jesus began to say to his people as they came near to him. It's the last line on the bottom of the front pages of your song sheet. He said, he began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The one thing Jesus said people should do when they recognize who he is turn around, turn back from going their own way and start going his way. That's what repentance means. Turn back from a life lived in the dark without God to a life lived with the light of the world. Turn back to him. We would love this Christmas to be the moment that many choose to turn back, to repent and go God's way. Well, as we come to our last song, Joy to the World, may this be a Christmas that you rejoice in and celebrate in and recognize that it's all about him.